This is Frank Bell again with the fourth of four podcasts on setting up a WordPress blog. These podcasts are intended to people who are relatively new and inexperienced in working with a WordPress and databases. If you are an experienced and proficient blogger and a database administrator, you probably would be wasting your time to listen to this unless you want to send me an email and tell me about all the mistakes I've made. Of course, the most obvious aspect of maintaining any website is to maintain backups. You want to back up the files that you've placed on your website. In the case of a WordPress blog, these would include the WordPress PHP files, your theme files, and your plugin files, and other such things. And you also need to maintain and back up your database, which is a separate procedure, and one that I think many relatively new or less experienced bloggers don't pay enough attention to. However, if you've ever gotten that dreaded message, cannot create database connection, you know how important that is. First, I'll talk briefly about files. When to back them up. Obviously, after the initial setup. Now, if you've tested out your files on your local computer using a program such as XAMPP, where you can run your own Apache server, database, PHP, and Perl, and test everything before you uploaded it to your hosting service, you already have backups. If you don't, if you've gone to a hosting service and had them automatically install WordPress, and then you configured up your theme, once you're pretty satisfied with how everything's going and how everything looks, it's a good idea to fire up your FTP client and download copies of all those files. This, of course, also applies if you're doing an HTML website. Once you have it looking the way you want it to, download copies of the files to your local computer. How often should you back up the files? In addition to backing them up after initial setup, I would recommend for a hobbyist website such as mine to back them up when you make significant changes. In the case of a WordPress blog, the files don't change all that much unless you make a radical change, such as installing a new set of plugins or installing a new theme. The other item that's subject to change is media. If you like to upload pictures, audio, and items such as that, those will be changing as you upload them. I upload a lot of snapshots. I happen to live near a golf course. There's lots of wildlife, and I'm frequently uploading pictures of turtles and red-winged blackbirds and egrets and other wildlife that's around. Sometimes of flowers, because I'm a rose fancier, and you know that we rose fanciers are pretty fanatical about our roses. My brother lives in an area where there are lots of eagles, and from time to time he sends me pictures that I can post. He sent me a beautiful sequence recently of an eagle actually fishing, grabbing the fish, tucking the fish into its talons, tucking its talons up under its breast and flying away. Wheeling and flying away with its prey. I had a great time playing with those in the GIMP and creating blog posts that showed the sequence as it happened, giving due credit to my brother, of course, in the process. If you use the WordPress uploader, which I described in an earlier podcast, by default, it organizes your uploads by month. For 2012, there's an 01 directory for files uploaded in January, an 02 directory for files uploaded in February, and so on. So if those are the only files that change, media that you have uploaded, you can download through FTP the new folders on a monthly basis and maintain a local backup of those files. And hopefully you will also already have copies of the original picture files that you edited and prepared for being uploaded and displayed on your blog. My practice developed over the years has been to periodically do a complete backup of all the files. I do this usually every 2 to 3 months, not really on a set schedule, but when it feels like it's been long enough since the last one. And I'll point my FTP client, I commonly use GFTP, at my directory on my hosting service and just download everything. If I were a business or some huge organization, I might be running incremental backups. But my blog is a hobby. It's a hobby I'm deeply invested in, but it's still a hobby, and I don't need to do daily incremental backups. There, frankly, is nothing on there that's that important. There's stuff that I feel very proud of. There's also stuff I don't feel proud of, but stuff that in the grand scheme of things is basically a lone hobbyist shooting his mouth off on the internet. And I don't kid myself that people will be celebrating my birth 200 years from now the way that they are celebrating Charles Dickens's birth. Personally, I do not celebrate Dickens' birth. I think he exemplifies what happens when you pay a writer by the word, but that's just me. So that's enough about backing up files for now. Simple, using FTP to copy them and keep them organized on your hard drive. I'll talk about what to do with them after you get them in a moment. The other aspect, though, and the one I think too often bloggers neglect, is the database. Back when I was very new to this, I'd probably been blogging for 2.5 years, I had my database crash. It was when I was self-hosting, I had no one to blame but myself, I had not educated myself to take proper care of it, and it decided one day just to give me the finger and go away. I actually lost about 3 months' worth of my drivel, which could not be recovered in that. Since then, I went out and educated myself, and I'm going to describe what I do as routine maintenance for my databases, and I do this frequently. I used to do it once a week. Now my database has gotten much larger. It's about 200 slightly more than 200 megabytes in an SQL file when I do a database dump, fairly sizable for a small, little-noticed website on the backwaters of the inner tubes. I do this now every 2 to 3 days. It doesn't take long. 3 or 4 minutes, I do it manually. I haven't gone to the trouble of automating it. If I were a business, again, I would automate it. If it were on my own local server, I would automate it. But it's out on a web hosting service, and rather than figure out how I can automate it out there, it just seems to me easier to do it manually. To do this maintenance, I use PHP MyAdmin. PHP MyAdmin is included with the great majority of web hosting services. If you're hosting service uses cPanel, there's actually a PHP MyAdmin icon directly in the cPanel interface. If it uses Parallels, getting to the database and to PHP MyAdmin is a little different. To find out how to access it, see your hosting provider's help pages for information. If you are self-hosting and you don't have it installed, go get it. It generally will come with most server, database server packages. Once you are logged in to PHP MyAdmin, you will see a narrow column on the left which will list the databases. There will be your database or your blog's database. There will also be the information schema, which is used by MySQL to format itself. You are interested in your database. Let's say it's called Dribbble. You click on Dribbble, and that will open up a list of the tables on the left and on the right, occupying the bulk of the page. At the header, it will say your server name, the name of your database, and various options you have to view the PHP structure. You can enter an individual command, an SQL statement, through PHP MyAdmin. You can search, you can do a query, you can export, you can import, and do other database operations. The bulk of the screen will be taken up by a list of the tables. And the tables, there will be several columns. The name of the table will be on the left. Then there will be a column of actions you can take, such as to browse the database and look at the individual entries, to look at the structure of it, to search the table, to insert, drop, or empty the database. Generally, we're not going to do any actions in this unless we are actually database administrators and know what we're doing. Though from time to time, I have used the browse to find a particular entry that I wanted to either modify or remove. Generally, though, I stay out of this area. It will tell you, there'll be a column that tells you how many records are in the database. For instance, my post database, I'm looking at it now, has 34,276 records. That is not just posts. There are about 12,000 posts. It'll tell you what type of database it is and how it's collated, the size in megabytes. To go to my post, it's 59.7 megabytes. And finally, a column that says overhead. Overhead is cruft that builds up in the tables in usage. The more overhead, the slower the table is to respond. The slower a table is to respond, the more likely you are to get that dreaded error-creating database connection message. Sometimes that message may occur because the database is broken. Many times it may occur simply because the database is being slow. In rare cases, that message may occur because the SQL server itself is not running, so the door is closed. Doing the regular maintenance that I'm talking about will go a long way to reducing the number of times you or one of your visitors might see that message. Here's what I generally do, because I'm doing routine maintenance here. I'm not trying to troubleshoot a problem. I go to the bottom of the list of tables, and there's an item on the far left that says check all. And that means to put a check mark in the selection box. So I click that, and check marks appear in the selection boxes next to all the tables. Then I go over to a dialog that says with selected, and I select check table. And at that point, the check gets instituted, and in a matter of a few seconds, the display changes, and that list of tables is replaced by an item which at the top tells what SQL query was run. And in this case, it was check table with a list of tables. And the list of tables below that, and if all goes well, letters OK should appear at the right of that list. I then go back and I click the name of my database again, and I repeat that same process, only this time when I go to with selected, I select repair table. What the repair does is get rid of that cruft in the database. The repair may take a little longer, so when the confirmation comes up and I go back, now the overhead column is empty. The overhead has been removed from the tables. I will generally go ahead and do this a third time, and this time when I click with selected, I select optimize table on the theory that it can't hurt and it might help. After a repair, the optimize seems to take almost no time. I have not investigated this. Perhaps a repair, if so facto, also does an optimize. But you know, this is the habit I've developed. I'm quite happy with it. And this is the kind of maintenance that will keep your database happy and healthy. But if the server crashes, all the maintenance in the world cannot bring back a dead database. So what you need then is to back up your tables and get them to your local computer so that you have a copy. You can do this in MySQL by clicking Export, and the Export dialog will appear. I generally accept the defaults, which is to create an uncompressed SQL file which is simply a text file which is organized in such a way that you can import it into MySQL. And it's really important to go down to the bottom and make sure that Save as File is clicked. It's my personal opinion that the Save as File dialog should be in a more prominent location. I think it should be at the top rather than at the bottom. However that may be, I'm not the author of the program, so I can complain, but I have to pretty much use it as it is. And once you click Save as File, you can click Go on the bottom right of the page, and your browser will present whatever style of file dialog your browser normally presents. It will tell you whether you want to open the file or save it. You select Save, and then it will give you an option to pick a directory. And at this point, I also will change the file name. The file name will generally be your database name. Let's say it's Dribbble, dribbble.sql. And I will change it to add the month, year, and day. So I will insert that information before the file extension. So the file name becomes something like dribbble2012-04-30.sql and direct it to save. There are also other ways. For some reason, the phpMyAdmin export hasn't been working very well for me lately. I don't know if it's been browser related or what. I'm testing it in another browser. Even right now, as I was doing this to keep my memory fresh as I recorded this podcast, my hosting provider also gives me an interaction on the command interface, their hosting dashboard, or whatever they call it, where I can tell them to create a backup. And then the dialog says, this may take up to 2 hours. It probably takes a lot less than that. But I've been using that recently, and that will place the backup in a directory on my website that exists. It's called DB Backups. And exists for receiving backups that you have ordered in that way. So I generally have been requesting that backup, coming back later. At that point, I rename the files using GFTP to put in the year, month, day, and download them with FTP. And that's a little cumbersome, but it's been working out just fine for me. Once I have the files downloaded, there is another step. So I've got the original database out there on the web server. I've got a copy on my local machine. What if both of them go at once? Unlikely these days. I've been playing with computers long enough to remember when file corruption was an ever constant danger, where the expression save early and often originated, because at any minute your DOS 3.2 computer might decide to crash. But it's not a backup unless it's on removable media. It's great to have backups on electronic media, but I want something for my purposes that doesn't depend on power to be safe. So on a regular basis, I will burn my website backups, the files, and the database backups to CD or DVD. It used to be CD. Now it's gotten so big that I'm usually burning it to DVD. I do not compress them usually when I do this. Media is cheap. If I have to do a restore, it's a lot easier for me just to open up the CD and find the file, as opposed to copy the contents of the CD onto a hard drive, then decompress the file, then look for the one I'm looking for. The other thing I commonly do is keep at least several layers of backups on my hard drive for ready access. Commonly at least three, sometimes more depending on how industrious I've been. So that if something happens and I go to backup number one and it's no good, I can go to backup number two, even to backup number three if I have to. Though so far I've never had to do anything quite that drastic, at least not since that crash that I mentioned early in this podcast. So this is, in short, what I do to back up and maintain my blog site. I download copies of all the website files at time of creation and after significant modifications. I regularly do routine database maintenance in the form of a check, repair, and optimize, and regularly export the database into SQL files, download the SQL files, and then burn these to CD or DVD for archiving purposes. If I were, again, a business or some kind of huge organizational entity, I would automate this much more so than I've done so. But from the standpoint of you as a hobbyist who's trying to maintain your own blog and first getting started, I think these guidelines will help you protect the integrity of your data and the integrity of your databases.
See the show notes for links to WordPress articles on database and site maintenance.
Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to be back here at HPR soon.
If you want to email me, you can email me at frank@pineviewfarm.net. Pineview Farm is all one word, no spaces, no punctuation. And my website is www.pineviewfarm.net. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.